lot going on in these two meetings. We won't investigate all of it, fear not. Paul is building communities across traditional boundaries, and Jesus and his people are healing all who come to him in body, mind, and spirit. Now, in our time and place, we have a lot of sayings about busyness. If you want something done, ask a busy person, we say. And the devil makes work for idle hands. It's true that busy people are often good at using their time efficiently. But unrelenting busyness is not a gospel value. Can we have this tattooed on something, please? There's not much space there for God. Someone wise once said that we are called to be human beings and not human doings. So we need phases of prayer and action. And this is what Jesus shows his people. We can survive in a world of continual doing, but apart from the original adrenaline high, we won't flourish and we won't feel good. We need an authentic rhythm of life, of worship and prayer, of work and stillness. But we must sit light to that too, if people are in need. And that's the situation in today's gospel. Jesus' friends, we might remember, have just sorted out the aftermath of John the Baptist's brutal killing. They have returned from telling people who are eager to hear about Jesus and the kingdom of God. They need rest and they need to refuel, but there is no chance. The crowds are needy and keep tracking them down, but what an opportunity for the disciples and for all the people there. Lives are being changed, whichever way we look. Healings in the gospel often come across as very matter of fact, almost everyday affairs. It sort of goes to a pattern, really. People arrive, they're often asked what they long for. Commonly, there is a short prayer. They touch or are touched. They are sent on their way with or without a brief instruction or two. It's not kind of very glamorous, is it? But each person who is healed is changed forever. Livelihood, relationships, social status, everything. The contrast before and after is too dramatic for anybody to forget. These were watershed moments. It's almost like being jolted from BC to AD. Different rules apply. All those stories would be told and retold in the families and communities down the generations. But imagine, over the years you've become expert at begging at a city gate. After you've been healed, you may find, after you've told your story a lot, that you're expected to do manual work. Your income now depends on coordination and the toughness of muscle and mind in a way that you've never had the chance to develop it. There's a steep learning curve ahead of you. And this is going on wholesale, all over the place. How to make sense of it all? How to put it together? There's a similar theme in a way in our epistle. The normal categories in Jewish society are highly structured. Everyone not only knows their place, but they know where everybody else is. Once Christians include both Jews and Gentiles, things get trickier. But Paul is adamant that rites that separate them, including circumcision and food customs, are irrelevant to the Christian community. Now, we've probably all seen similar things, but in different ways, playing out in faith groups in our time. The telltale is a sort of sense of You can't be a proper Christian if you don't observe whatever set of rules. And we wonder whether that is either true or whether it's helpful. Once we have committed to loving God and loving and prioritising our neighbours in prayer. If we interpret these readings generously, both of them remind us what's important and what's not. They are all of a piece. Paul was discouraging his people from putting up barriers, mainly to keep people out who didn't quite fit for one reason or another, who weren't quite like them. It happened then, it still happens now, or can do. If Jesus and his people had refused to touch all the people who lay in wait for healing because they weren't the right sort of people, what message would that have sent then and would that send to us? So, if there is an urgent and a pressing need, we are of course to go the extra mile if we can. But we are not always to feel that we should is always a dangerous word, be doing more. Jesus and his friends were good at winding down. They were cracking at having parties, as we see in some places. And like them, we are to try to adopt an underlying rhythm of life, of ministry, rest, replenishment. So, over the coming weeks, as you probably have rest or adventures and replenishment, just be blessed as you seek that refreshment and as you resettle into the rhythm of your life when the time is right. And may the weather be kind to us all.